It's time now for Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Tony Durkins joins us on the phone this morning. Oh, it is so wonderful to have some good news, something cheerful, something warm and wonderful that just makes you feel good to talk about on the air this morning. So before we even start talking about the content of the book, Tony, I just want to say thanks for being on the show and thanks for writing the gosh darn book to begin with.
Well, thanks for having me, Lisa.
It's called Duluth, an Urban Biography. And Tony, you are a guy that is just fascinated by the history of things. And I know people have written books about Duluth before. What was it that made you say, there's something missing, a new chapter or a new whole book needs to be written?
Well, I actually didn't say that. I was approached by the Minnesota Historical Society Press. You see, this book is the first in a series of four urban biographies that they're publishing, one about Rochester, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth. And I'm writing the Duluth ones. There'll be different people from each city writing a book. And it's an urban biography is basically you want to cover the entire history of that municipality, you know, Duluth, a city, town, state, whatever, in as few words as possible.
Oh, right? Wow.
So we're covering basically, you know, we start with the Precambrian lava flows of 2.6 billion years ago that formed the bed of Lake Superior.
And that was about the time that the current plumbing infrastructure was put in, isn't that right?
Was put in the streets. That's when we built our streets.
Exactly. Okay, just wanted to make sure that I had my facts right on that. Okay,
exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And we finish up with the mayoral election of 2019, just this last November.
Wow.
And we try to cover everything in between as much as possible. But mainly the focus is the borders of Duluth starting in 1856 until today, no matter how narrow they were in 1856 to how wide they are today and over the years. And we try to cover the development of the city, its major stories, so it unfolds like a linear narrative as you were taking you through the time. But we also pepper it with different stories like the legend of the canal dig, the specific little stories about our infamous aerial bridge, you know, different things like that. The fact that Duluth is often disparaged in, you know, popular culture.
It is?
For the last 100 years, yes.
And I'm so naive.
That as well.
Well, now I'm glad I missed that part as I was looking through it. There's no point in reading that if it's just going to upset me.
But, well,
what's the matter with us, other than that we're not in the Twin Cities? What's the matter with us?
There's nothing wrong with us whatsoever, but just over the years, famous people or movies, books, songs have referenced Duluth in a not always pleasant way.
Well, nobody put anybody in a wood chipper here.
Right.
Well, I would like to point that out.
Yes, that's true. That was the movies, and what I love about, you know, that movie is that it takes place in Minnesota, but the title is.
Exactly. And as a person who lived in Fargo, Moorhead for a number of years, also Wahpeton, Breckenridge, Bismarck, Mandan, Duluth, Superior. Yeah, it's like we pay attention to that stuff. Oh, for heaven's sake. Tony, you do love history and you have contributed so much richness and interesting information and enthusiasm for even the folks that live here. Tourists, and I love being a tourist. I love going places and being a tourist. And it's easy mm-hmm. to write things that appeal to tourists and tourists want to learn. And I, you know, yay tourists, I'm all for that. But you write things that are really interesting and engaging for people even who live here who say, I didn't know that. Talk a little bit about being a person who writes, a person with a passion, who's decided to accept a project where you really do have some pretty rigid constraints on your scope. What was that like?
I was constrained because, you know, the limited word count. You know, I used twice as many words in my previous book to describe the history of brewing beer.
There you go. Exactly.
Right? So this is, and I usually take deep dives, like my book about the bridge, or Lost Duluth about lost architecture, my book with Nancy Nelson about the parks. And I pick a subject and I go deep into that subject. This one, it was a real different for me because most of my knowledge is in Duluth's first 75 years or so, that 1856 through the 1920s growth period, where we're developing and becoming Duluth. I didn't know so much about that 50 years. So this is very new territory for me. I had to go into, aspects and issues that I've never really studied before. So that was fascinating to me. And then writing about the last 25 years, particularly difficult because I've lived here. I'm from St. Paul originally. And so, but I've been living here as a resident, not just a college student passing through. And I've been involved with some issues regarding preservation in the parks and everything. And to me, if I would call the last 25 years a forest, as a writer, every tree in that forest looked equally important to me.
Yes.
It was hard to figure out which of the issues that, say, 10, 20, 30 years from now, someone reading this book would look back and say, yep, he got that right. You know, that was the issue at the time. Because without the filter of time going by and putting things in perspective for us, it's really hard to determine what are these main issues that, you know, even the past 10 years, 10 years from now, are we going to say that, you know, plastic bags at the grocery stores were an important issue as it sure seems to have been in the past year.
Right.
Right.
And so it does take time. I can imagine. You know, one of the other things that's so magical about writers is where they find their inspiration and how inspiration will kind of grab a writer by the scruff of the neck and drag the writer off to the keyboard. Did you find some things as you were researching that earlier time period in Duluth's history that made you say, oh, mental note, I got to write a book about this?
Well, it's the whole reason. See, I'm not a historian by education or by but simply by practice. I've been a writer for many years, and I taught writing, and then I've published many books on different subjects, from duct tape to mosquitoes. But in about 15 or so years ago, I stumbled across a collection of color lithographic postcards of Duluth.
Oh, I remember those. I love those.
In the maybe between 1900 and 1939, and I thought I could write. We could publish a color history book. You don't see many of those, but I didn't know anything about Duluth or Duluth's history really. And I went to the public library, and the reference librarians introduced me to a wonderful woman named Marianne Norton, a retired researcher and educator, and at one time the director of the St. Louis County Historical Society, and her passion for Duluth history, it was just infectious, and maybe the wrong word to use today, but it just inspired me, and there I was, a writer looking for something to write about, and the next thing I knew, I've got stories fueling me for what's more than 15 years now, and we've got more books in the hopper as we go.
So, that's fantastic.
I owe it all to Marianne to turning me on to the fascination that is Duluth history. It's just an amazing subject.
It's wonderful. The people that inspire us, we don't really always know who we may inspire ourselves. So be inspiring. Live every day to be inspiring. It was really interesting because you had said just a moment ago, you had said, you know, we really don't know what's going to be important going forward until we've had a chance to develop a little bit of context for those events. One of the things that is interesting that you also learned quite a bit about is Duluth Superior during the flu epidemic in 1918 through 1920. And I just all of a sudden thought about, wow, do we want to do stay at home for 2 years? Wow, that could really be a thing.
Well, they didn't stay
of course
at home
not,
for 2 years.
Which is why it took two years, no doubt.
Yes, but I always like to point out that the 1918 flu, the last wave of it came through in the spring of 1920. These things happen in waves. So it's going to be great when we get out of this stay at home. be it in May or some other month. But, you know, we have to be prepared for other things. Now, Duluth and Superior shut themselves down in the fall of 1918 for I think it was about seven weeks, starting in October 12th. In fact, Duluth announced the stay-at-home. It wasn't really stay-at-home either. It was theaters, churches, gathering places like fraternal halls. But people still went to work at the ship plant. You know, thousands of them, and ate in cafeterias that held hundreds of people. So it wasn't quite like today. It wasn't as shut down.
Well, there was not unemployment either, and or any kind of real safety net for folks
there,
at that
there
time.
There weren't any of the social programs we know today.
Exactly. So if you didn't work, you didn't eat.
Right. And in Duluth and Superior, Duluth puts the ban in place on October 11th. So the October 12th newspapers announced the, you know, stay at home, we're being protected. And later that day, the Cloquet fire begins.
Wow.
Right? So we not only have the flu epidemic going through, and we're working on the war effort with shipbuilding and shipping iron and all these other things, all of a sudden we've got the fire to contend with, and the armory and the St. Louis County Courthouse and other buildings become basically refugee camps for the fire victims. And then when the hospitals overcrowd with flu, we have to, like the Shrine Auditorium, the original 1896 armory is the Shrine Auditorium by 1918. That becomes a flu hospital. A couple of, like the Moose Hall in West Duluth becomes a flu hospital. And so you have this, you know, it was here. We haven't experienced that yet. We've got these, right now, not that many reporting. But, you know, in Duluth and Superior, it was excuse me, I just got a little stuck in my throat here. But, you know, it's people, it was kind of not quite as stringent as it is now. So we are, I think, doing the right thing by staying home. And it's a good time to read.
It is a wonderful time to read. But that also, in addition, I think that sense of, I mean, can you imagine? Well, of course, it's easy for you to imagine because you've kind of immersed yourself in this. But imagine how utterly beset people must have been feeling to have their lives upended by this flu, maybe less information available to people about what it was, how it was working, less information available from experts, less known about it to begin with. And then suddenly, while they are beset and dealing with overcrowded hospitals and trying to figure out how to deal with this, their friends, neighbors, family down the road are, you know, evacuating due to a catastrophic fire. I mean, talk about a really tough period to go through. Yowza! Oh,
fire, flu, and war all at once here in Duluth, and it was a tough time. So, you know, we have to take a look at perspective on
Boy.
These things. You also have to look at, you know, we didn't have the community. You only got your news from the daily newspaper. You didn't get this 24/7. We weren't able to connect with people via social media as we are now. Even from lockdown, I can talk to my friends all across the planet, right? And even
yes.
see their faces on a computer screen
exactly.
if I get Zoom or FaceTime Live or whatever. So just think of the question marks in everybody's mind at the time. They really didn't know what they were dealing with or understand it that well.
Exactly.
So
and
it's just,
wow.
Yeah.
And talk about misinformation being rife then, because there really wasn't any way to check until the next time the newspaper came out or the
right.
next time somebody showed up, you
yes.
know, to find out, you know, who had actually been there, to find out what had really gone on. So, Tony, you've got a virtual, speaking of virtual events and speaking
yes.
of getting to see people face to face, you've got an event coming up next Wednesday.
Right.
It's a virtual book launch. There's virtual book launches are abounding, and it's just another one of the wonderful things that we have access to as we are trying to make the best of our little staycation or stay at home
or
whatever,
yeah, exactly.
stay at home working from home.
So next Wednesday at 7 p.m., it's going on via the Minnesota Historical Society's Facebook page, but I'll be sharing it on the Zenith City Facebook page and my personal page as well. So go to Zenith City on Facebook and sign up to follow us so you don't miss it, or Minnesota Historical Society or the Historical Society's press Facebook pages as well. And if you want to learn more about the book, get to know it in some a little bit of detail before you, you know, decide if it's something you want to read, visit us at zenithcity.com.
You
and
bet.
You'll learn all about the book, and you can even sign up to get our daily This Day in Duluth emails in your inbox.
Nice.
We also do that on Facebook, and it's a great community where we can, you know, ask questions and about Duluth history and chat about Duluth history.
This is going to be fabulous, and we'll get some links set up on our webpage so it'll be easy for folks to find the information about the virtual book launch and how they can, you know, jump in and be a part of that, more information about the book, the whole thing. Tony, thanks again so very much for joining us this morning. What a treat.
Thanks for having me, Lisa, and stay healthy.
I'm going to give it my very best shot. Tony Durkin's our guest this morning here on 103.3 KUMD. He has written a book called Duluth, an Urban Biography, and we'll get some links, as we mentioned, set up on our website, so it'll be easy for folks to find out more information about that. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.